If you would, this morning, take your Bibles and turn to Habakkuk chapter 3. We're going to be looking there this morning as we are finishing this series on Habakkuk and the series we've been doing called From Doubt to Faith. And throughout this series, we have been tracing, looking through Habakkuk's journey as he has gone from a place of questioning and a place of doubt and confusion at the beginning of the book to a place here we're going to see today of faith and hope and confidence in his Lord. On the book of Habakkuk, it challenges us to put our faith in God even during the most worst of times. On Saturday, March 9, 2002, three women were killed in Chicago when part of a 25-foot aluminum scaffold fell from the high winds from the 43rd floor of the John Hancock Center. These women were just sitting in their car, doing absolutely nothing, having no idea that was going to be the end of their life, no idea the danger they were in. The Chicago Tribune headline stated, "The tragedy at the Hancock." And this event took place about 6 months from the day the terrorists flew planes into the Twin Towers, the World Trade Center, and into the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., killing more than 3,000 people. And many of us have experienced tragedies in our lives, all kinds of tragedy, and tragedy is hard to understand. It's hard to explain. It's hard on our faith when we see things happening and we don't have the answers why. See, much of what happens in our world is beyond us. And the truth is, even if it were explained to us, we probably wouldn't like the answer anyway. We wouldn't be satisfied with the explanation. The events in our world seldom make sense. And so we're confronted with this basic idea that we see in Habakkuk and we see repeated in the New Testament. That is, regardless of what happens in our world and in our lives, the righteous will live by faith. And we need to get to that point. We live by faith, even in the questions. Even as Habakkuk, as he looks at Judah, he looks at the land around him, and he sees all the evil, and he says, God, how can you allow evil? Do you care? And even in that question, and even in the answer, God says, I do care. I'm bringing the Chaldeans to bring judgment. And then Habakkuk says, but the Chaldeans are worse than the people of Judah. How can you do that? God, is that fair? And even in that question, and even as God says, in my fairness, I will judge them as well. And as Habakkuk wrestles with, God, where are you in all this? Even in all these questions, he comes to a point here at the end of the book where he makes this decision that he's going to trust in God no matter what. No matter what. And it wasn't going to be an easy thing. See, God revealed to Habakkuk that his country was about to be invaded by these people, and they were going to lose absolutely everything. Things they had built, spent years building up, everything that they had worked for was going to be gone. And at the end of his prayer, Habakkuk shares three things that he will do even in facing this worst challenge of his lifetime. And this morning, as we get to the end of Habakkuk, let's look at these closing verses together and see what we can learn and how we can strengthen our own faith as we look at the end of this prayer from Habakkuk. And Habakkuk chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. I heard, and my inward parts trembled, at the sound of my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait patiently for the days of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fall, though the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet, and makes me walk in my high places. For the choir director are my stringed instruments. The first thing that we see here that Habakkuk does is he says he waits patiently for God, even when he is afraid. God has told Habakkuk about this coming invasion of the Chaldeans, and God has described the arrogance and the violence and the cruelty of the people that are going to come. And he's done this in great detail. And God also says that tells us back about the judgments that are going to come upon the Chaldeans at that time. And do you remember the book, the first line of Dickens' Tale of Two Cities? It says it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Well, Habakkuk gets this message, and it was the worst of times, and it was the worst of times. There were no best of times coming. It was the worst. There was the worst news he could possibly get. And Habakkuk is terrified of what is going to take place. He wasn't just dealing with the possibility that this might happen. This was a definite thing that was coming. It was going to happen. It was certainty. In verse 16, Habakkuk says that his body trembles. This word is used to describe violent earthquakes. He's shaken. He is falling apart. His lips are quivering. He's unable to form the words to express the dread that is going on. He is in such shock that his feet are unable to move at this news. Maybe we have been there at some point. We get some earth-shattering news, something that we weren't prepared to understand or comprehend, something that we didn't even expect. And we get to this point, we're so overcome by dread and sorrow, and we're drained physically and emotionally and mentally and spiritually. And in these times, how do we exercise faith? How do we exercise our faith in the worst of times? And Habakkuk says, in this time, he says, wait patiently for God, even when you are afraid. The second half of verse 16, it says, yet I wait quietly for the day of distress. He knows it's coming. And even in that, he is waiting patiently. There is no hoping that the invasion will be stopped. There's no hoping that the tragedy is not going to happen. God promised that it would. It is coming. It's going to happen. He's going to do this, and he's eventually going to judge the Chaldeans as well, and he's going to deliver his people. And even though Habakkuk knows that at some time his people will be delivered, there's no expectation it's happening in his lifetime. He didn't know when it was going to happen, but he believed that it was coming. And this is the way that some of these promises are. See, when we know that we can cling to the promises of God and they're going to come, but some of them aren't going to come when we want them to. Like, we don't mind going through distress as long as we can get relief in an hour or two, you know, or maybe in a day or two. Or really, if I got to wait a week, okay, I can wait a week, but when it stretches out to months and maybe years, or maybe sometimes God says, you know, I'm not really going to give you an answer in your lifetime. You may not find out why until you come and stand before me. Are we willing to trust God that far? And this is where Habakkuk was. The phrase here, waiting patiently, it comes from the Hebrew word meaning to rest or to settle down and remain. This is what David said in Psalm 62:1 when he says, my soul finds rest in God. Instead of allowing his heart to continue to be shaken, instead of continuing in anxiety, he chose to settle his heart and rest and wait on God's promises. And God promises to give us peace when we bring our worries and our fears and our anxieties before him. Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And we say this idea of waiting on God. What an easy thing to say. Man, it's so simple, right? If you're going through a tragedy, just wait on God. But we all know, as easy as it is to say, how difficult it is to do. How much we have to rely on and trust in and build this faith in our lives. We need to choose to wait on God. And we also need to choose to rejoice in these times. As we see in verses 17 and 18, read those again. It says, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fall, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt in the Lord, I'll rejoice in the God of my salvation. What a great passage to think about, maybe a passage for us to memorize and to meditate on and to think on. One of the strongest expressions of faith that we see in Scripture we find here is he is determined, Habakkuk, determined to rejoice in God even when everything else in life seems to be going wrong. He is depicting a series here of escalating events, and we could summarize these verses like this. I've lost everything, but I will still rejoice in God. See, Israel, it was an agricultural society, and these verses here, they describe not merely a financial ruin, but the impossibility of continued survival. This spells famine and death and hopeless doom is what Habakkuk sees coming here. And he paints in this three scenarios that are coming, and each scenario gives us some images here. In the first one, he says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit beyond the vines. And what Habakkuk is saying here is that not only is there nothing today, but the future has nothing either. There are no figs on the tree, but there's no blossoms as well. There's no hope for the future. Habakkuk is saying not only is today terrible, tomorrow's just going to get worse. You know, the song, you know, the sun will come out tomorrow. Habakkuk doesn't see any sun coming out tomorrow. Today stinks. And tomorrow's going to stink too. This is what he is looking at. He saw no hope. There was none. The second scenario he's presented here is the yield of the olive fail in the fields, yield no food. And this refers to things that were taking care of people right now, things they were trusting in. They symbolize maybe our present means. This is the scenario that the things that we trust in maybe that let us down. The olive crops, they fail. And the fields, they produce no fruit. All that there is around him is disappointment. We've worked hard, poured our blood and sweat and our tears. We've done everything humanly possible, and yet we get nothing. We get laid off from a job after years of faithful service. No idea of where our income is going to come from. You invest all of your money in a sure deal only to see the stock market crash and there's nothing. You pour yourself into a relationship with another person and it just falls apart. And what do you do when you have nothing? What do you do when all that you are counting on, everything you place your security in, is gone, taken from you? What do? Do you suffer bitter disappointments in life? What happens? Habakkuk says, in all this, trust in God no matter what. Though the olive crop fails, the fields produce no fruit, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, the God of my salvation. And so when all this is happening, when Habakkuk gets to the end in this prayer and he says, I have all these questions and I really don't have the answers, here is what I'm going to do. I'm going to spend time in worship. I'm going to come before the Lord and I'm going to worship him. And I'm going to worship him because even though there's nothing else, notice he says here, the God of my salvation. He knows that when he loses everything else, there is still that relationship with God. The third scenario here is those the flock be cut off in the fold, there will be no cattle in the fields. The Bible reminds us over and over and over again the reality of this life that we live in. We live in a fallen world. We live in a sinful world. And in our world, bad things happen. And bad things even happen to good people. And this passage is the sheep and the cattle. These are things that we trust in from the past. This symbolizes our reserves, maybe our savings account. These are things they had that they could use in the future. And many have watched as some of the things that they use for reserves fall away, their retirement, their investments, and as they've gone. The securities, we have nothing left to fall back on. There's no reserves for the people of Judah when these things are gone. Credit cards are maxed, no money in the bank. Physical strength is tapped, you're emotionally empty. Spiritually, you are completely drained. You know, it is so easy to trust in God when the fig tree is budding, when there's grapes on the vines, when the olive crop succeeds and the fields are productive, when there's sheep and there's cattle, when everything is good. It is so easy to trust in and rejoice in and worship God. But are you really trusting God in those times? Are you just trusting in the stuff that God is doing? See, sometimes we look at life and we'll say this, life is good. I have everything I need, and we'll use this phrase, God sure is blessing me. And we have to be careful, because when things are bad and when things are struggled, does that then automatically mean that God's not blessing me? That somehow that God's blessing only comes in the good things? We need to trust God no matter what. Figs, grapes, olives, permanent crops here in this passage, gone. Annual crops like wheat and barley, the source of most of the calories, gone. The livestock, all dead. And where is their security? Where does it come from? Let me ask you a question. I want you to really think about this question. I think this is important for us to consider. What would make us feel more secure? $1 million in the bank, or having a God who promises to meet our daily needs? Which would make us feel more secure? Now, really, seriously, stop and think about that and be brutally honest. And if we're saying in our minds and our hearts that the answer is $1 million in the bank, then we know what we're trusting in. We're trusting in that money. And what happens when it's gone? What do we have left? But if the answer is truly that you're placing your security in a God who promises to meet your daily needs, then no matter what situation happens in life, you'll be more secure than a person with money in the bank. You can feel more secure because the truth is that you are more secure. Trusting God no matter what, knowing that God holds all things in his hands. Habakkuk here is determined to rejoice in God, to rejoice despite the visible circumstances, even when he didn't see any visible signs of God's presence or God's favor. He couldn't see any of those things, but he still chose to trust and worship. Habakkuk says, though you have no visible hope for the future, and what you're trusting in the present lets you down, and what you have to get you into the future is all gone, and you have nothing to fall back on, he says, still I will rejoice in the Lord. Be joyful. Why? Because he is God, my Savior. Again, we see this relationship that Habakkuk has with the Savior. And the Savior promised that he would deliver him. In God's time, Habakkuk will be delivered. And we think about that and all the things that happen in our world to us, the worst thing that can happen to us is that someday we go be with our Savior. Right? We will be delivered. If we lose everything here, if you're a believer, a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're under persecution, no matter what happens here, there will come a day that you will be delivered, because you will stand before the Savior in eternity and he will welcome you into his arms. And this is what Habakkuk was looking forward to. He knew there was a God who would not fail. He would deliver him in his own time. A struggle for Habakkuk, but a reality he knew that it was going to be in God's time. And we see similar instructions in the New Testament in 1 Thessalonians 5, which says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so how do we exercise faith during the worst of times? We choose to rejoice in God when everything else is gone. We find our fulfillment and strength in him. The last verse that Habakkuk pens here, he says, the word God is my strength, and he has made me my feet like hinds' feet, and makes me walk on high places. Habakkuk can learn to find his strength in God no matter what. Habakkuk, he was going to go through these hard times, and they were coming, and he rejoiced in God in the midst of these hard times, and he found strength in him. What is the strength that God gives us? Habakkuk says, God made my feet like the feet of a deer, is what he's saying here, and enables me to go to the heights. Habakkuk paints a picture of a deer running on the highest mountains, steady, sure-footed, uninhabited, unafraid, full of freedom and confidence as this deer scales the heights. As we began this series several weeks ago, if you might remember, if you were here, Stephen shared an illustration about this elk hunt See, Stephen and I went on an elk hunt one time, and he was sharing in this story here about things that you don't know and have different perspective. And Habakkuk had no real perspective of what God was doing. And so on this hunt, we were faced with this time where we could either take an easy way out. We had hiked for miles and miles and miles, or we could just go up and down all these big ridges. And Stephen says, "Let's go up and down the ridges." And I'm like, "Great." And so we go up and down these ridges, and I'm going to make the story shorter than Stephen shared it. We went up and down these ridges, and we get to this place where eventually Stephen, I hear gunshot, Stephen kills an elk. And so I find Stephen, and I am making all kinds of racket and all kinds of noise, and Stephen is there's more elk out there, and he's waving me down and pointing at the elk, and I'm saying things like, "Stephen, it's okay, you killed an elk, we'll share yours. I don't need to shoot one, we'll just share yours." And Stephen's like, "What are you doing? There's elk right here," you know, and he's panicking, right? And he's so, and I'm laughing because I knew something Stephen didn't. I already shot an elk. I couldn't shoot that one, right? And so he shared this story. But at the end of that hunt, here's something else I remember. We had walked probably 20 miles that day. We had been over these ridges, and man, I was beat and I was tired. And my legs were cramping, and Stephen has this great big huge, he got a better truck that has actually a step into it now, right? But I was beat, I was so tired. And as I was preparing this sermon, and I was looking at this idea of this deer on these mountains, I was thinking about those elk. As tired as I was, man, I just watched these elk just run up and down the mountains like it's nothing. Right, I'm chasing them, and they're just, you know, taking these paths, and they're going up, and I'm taking one little step because I don't want to fall and kill myself. And the elk are just up here, and that's the picture, the security that Habakkuk is painting here. Do we long to enter this high place of fellowship with God? Then we need to find our strength in Him alone, and trust that God will lift us up when we're down. So, how do we exercise faith during the worst of times? We need to wait. We need to wait patiently on the Lord. Even when we're afraid, we need to learn to rest in Him and wait on Him. We need to choose to rejoice and worship. Even when everything in life is going wrong, we can make a choice to continue to worship God. And we need to find our strength in God to scale the heights. Even when we're down. Habakkuk here has reached the end of this journey, and we've reached the end of the book of Habakkuk. And his journey here mirrors a lot of our own lives. He begins with questions, and there are many of us who have questions, and we look around our world and we just don't understand what God is doing. We look and we see the evils in the world, and we say, "God, why? And do you care about what's going on?" We see and we read the news and we see the evil things that are happening. We say, "God, do you care?" And then we see some other things, and we say, "God, I don't really understand why that's fair. And God, where are you in all this?" And we ask these questions. And we have these questions, and we see these things. We have a choice. And I've seen people make bold choices. I've seen people deal with tragedy, and they run away from God. And they turn their back on God and say, "I can't believe in a God who will do this." And I have seen people run to God and put their faith in Him. And Habakkuk says here, we need to bring our questions to God, bring our concerns to God, and trust in Him. Even if we'll never find the answers that we need, God is still God, and we can still trust Him. I really believe at the end of this book that Habakkuk never really got every question answered. I don't think he was fully satisfied with God's plan. I don't think he was looking forward to the destruction that was to come. He didn't look and say, "God, that sounds like a great plan. Let's do that." He still had questions. But in those questions, he had faith. He begins the journey in a valley of doubt. And he ends this journey here scaling the heights with God like the feet of a deer. And wherever we may be, on our own personal journey from doubt to faith, let me encourage you to continually seek God. Every day to seek Him. Keep coming to Him with your questions. Keep coming to Him with your doubts. Keep coming to God. When we get to chapter 3, we see all these questions, and Habakkuk ends the whole book in prayer. He ends this thing. He wrote this song to God in prayer. Keep coming to Him. come to God through a relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing that God loves you so much. Look, God loves you. If you don't know this, God loves you so much that He gave His Son, that Jesus paid a penalty on a cross for your sins, so that we can have eternal life. And eternal life sounds like great. You know, we have this life in the future, but God says, I invite you into a relationship with me so that you can have Jesus' life and have it abundantly. He wants to have life right now. And I pray that God will lead you to a place where you can put that trust in Him, and not just trust in salvation, but trust in Him as you walk through life no matter what happens. That God can help you learn these lessons that we see in Habakkuk. That even though we don't know why, man, we can trust in God. God is here for you. I promise you, God is here for you. God will never leave you. There wasn't one time Habakkuk was alone through this whole thing. God cares for you. And even when you can't see the hand of God, trust in the heart of God. He loves you. So this morning, as we come to our time of invitation, will you trust Him? Even if you don't understand why, will you trust Him? Will you trust Him because you know that even though you don't know why, He does? Even if you wonder how long, will you trust Him? Trust Him because He knows the timing. He knows the length. And there will come a day when there will be no more suffering. Do you trust Him? Trust Him without explanation. When there's no logic and no reasoning, trust Him. Trust Him because He alone is God. If you are here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this may not make a lot of sense to you. How do you trust in this God? I invite you this morning to come to know Jesus, to come to a relationship with Him, to confess your sin and make God Lord of your life, to follow Him. I have no idea, and this is honest truth, I have no idea how people who don't know Jesus deal with these things that go on in our world and deal with the tragedies of life. Because there are many, many times in my life when the only thing I have, my only rock, is that I know who Jesus is. And maybe you're here this morning and you're dealing with some questions. Maybe you're searching through some things and bring those questions to God. And maybe if you have to turn to somebody and say, look, can you help me work through these questions in my life? Maybe it needs to make yourself and say, look, I just want to be honest with somebody and say, I'm struggling with these things. Can you help me walk through them? And be honest and open. Maybe you're here this morning and you're good and you're rejoicing and you're worshiping Him. What a great opportunity to look around and notice that there's other people who aren't. And we need to come alongside of them and offer the encouragement that we see here in the book of Habakkuk.